RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus for Ukraine, News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news for today headlines. Indonesian Minister of Education urges schools to form team to prevent sexual abuse. China offers 80 trillion rupiah loans for Trans-Sumatra-Trans-Sulawesi Railways. Now the news in detail. Culture and Education Minister Anies Baswedan has urged schools to set up a team to prevent violence against children. This is part of the effort to respond to the growing incidence of violence against children. The minister affirmed that sexual defiance must be quickly detected to address and prevent sexual abuse among children. The minister remarked that crimes against children were brutal in nature. He noted that early childhood education is very important as it can instill good values and develop a child's personality. Baswedan emphasized that family education played an important role in molding a child's character. Women's Empowerment and Child Protection Minister Yohana Yembisi had earlier stated that the increase in violence against children in Indonesia will pose a serious challenge to the existence of this nation in competing with other countries. Indonesian President Joko Widodo on Tuesday in Seoul, South Korea, gave keynote speech in the 7th Asian Leadership Conference. In his speech, President highlighted developments in information technology innovation achieved by the world today. He said these developments must be balanced with promoting social innovation. It is intended to bridge social disparities that are often triggered anarchy in society.
We have enough innovation in technology and businesses, but we need more innovation in social practices. We need more innovation in the mindset of government. We need innovation to make the winners from innovation care more about the losers from innovation.
In his speech, President Joko Widodo also mentioned that he already conducted social innovation by conducting an impromptu visit. The effort was aimed at conducting dialogue and received inputs from the people since he led Solo City in Central Java and the capital city, Jakarta. The 7th Asian Leadership Conference is a forum of statesmen, scientists, and businessmen to provide contribution in sciences and promote leaderships in the changing to a better governance in Asia and global communities. China has offered 80 trillion rupiah worth of loans to finance the construction of Trans-Sulawesi and Trans-Sumatra railway projects, a Transportation Ministry official said. Director General of Railway at the Transportation Ministry, Prasetyo Budi Cahyono, informed on Tuesday that China has agreed to extend loans worth 40 trillion rupiah for Trans-Sumatra and Trans-Sulawesi railway projects each. He said that China is still considering the result of studies conducted by the ministry regarding the projects. The director added that a feasibility study of several segments of the projects was conducted and detailed engineering designs of these projects have been completed. He remarked that his segment in respect of which detailed engineering designs have been completed included the Rantau Rapat Duri-Duri Pekanbaru section of Trans-Sumatra Railway. he hoped China will complete its study of the projects in less than 1 year. Vice President Yusuf Kalla officially opened the 41st annual meeting of the Board of Governors of the Islamic Development Bank on Tuesday. The meeting, in fact, had begun on Sunday and was to be officially opened by the Vice President only on Monday, though it was later postponed to Tuesday. Among those seen attending the opening ceremony were Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro, Bank Indonesia Governor Agus Martowardoyo, former President B.J. Habibie, and Economic and Finance Ministers of the 57 member countries of the IDB. Through cooperation between the IDB and Indonesia, several initiatives have been achieved over the past few years. Indonesia and IDB have been able to finish the first period of the Country Partnership Strategy Cooperation Program from 2011 to 2014 and successfully funded important areas in development, including in infrastructure and private sector. Finance Minister hoped that similar successes would be attained during the second phase from 2016 to 2020. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia has become one of the leading sukuk issuers in the world, with sukuk issuance totaling 503 trillion rupiah, 38 billion US dollar since its debut in 2008, according to Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro. According to Minister Bambang, Indonesia, which has the world's largest Muslim population, is the largest sukuk issuer in terms of both total issuance and outstanding sukuk. Bambang said in remarks at the annual Islamic Finance Conference of the Islamic Development Bank IDB on Tuesday in Jakarta that as of May 10th, total issuance of sukuk negara reached 503 trillion rupiah, or around 38 billion US dollar, with total outstanding sukuk at 380 trillion rupiah, or around 29 billion US dollar. Outstanding sukuk accounts for 15% of total government securities. Since its debut, total issuance of Indonesia's sovereign sukuk in dollar denomination has reached 10.15 billion US dollar, with current outstanding sukuk at 9.5 billion US dollar. Two gunmen killed in a recent shootout with Operation Tinombala security forces in the Uwey Maya Mountains of Central Sulawesi's Poso Regency were members of the terrorist group East Indonesia Mujahidin, or MIT, according to police. Central Sulawesi Police Chief Brigadier General Rudy Sufaryadi said on Tuesday that the two men are Firman alias Ikrima from Malino in Central Sulawesi and Yazid alias Taufik from Java. Rudy added that both men were members of the MIT group led by Santoso, aka Abu Wardah, and their names were included on the most wanted list. According to the police officer, the two men were shot to death by security personnel while they were heading toward the Saatu River with at least five other men. Rudy remarked that the evacuation is relatively slow because aside from the rock terrain, heavy rain has hit Poso. In addition to identifying the alleged terrorists, the task force has gathered potential evidence in the form of four bags containing food, a GPS device, a mobile phone, and five pipe bombs. The last item, in conjunction with the International Yoga Day, the Indian Embassy in Indonesia will hold mass yoga event in four cities in Indonesia, namely Jakarta, Bali, Medan, and Surabaya. Yoga Day celebration in Indonesia is part of global celebration organized by the Indian Embassy all over the world. In a press conference in the Indian Cultural Center, Jawaharlal Nehru, Tuesday, May 17th, Manish, Deputy Chief of Mission at the Indian Embassy to Indonesia, expressed hope that the Indonesian people can participate in the global celebration of International Yoga Day following the popularity of yoga in Indonesia.
This is an ancient wisdom from India. India-Indonesia has always been partners, and what I see that yoga is very popular in Indonesia. By participating in this event and by organizing this event, we hope that more and more Indonesians who have not taken part in this yoga exercises will be interested for a healthy life. So we hope many more Indonesians to join this event and make it a huge success.
In the second year of International Yoga Day celebration, yoga participants will be guided by Indian yoga master and Indian yoga teachers. This event will take place in Jakarta on June 18th, in Bali June 19th, in Surabaya June 19th, and in Medan June 26th. The International Yoga Day itself has been commemorated every June 21st since 2014. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia Minister of Education urges schools to form team to prevent sexual abuse. Chinese offers 80 trillion rupiah loans for Trans Sumatra and Trans Sulawesi railways. That was the news.
Hello listener, welcome back to commentary for today entitled Muslim Mayor in London. On Saturday, May 7, 2016, Sadiq Khan, a Muslim who is a son of an immigrant from Pakistan, was elected mayor of London, England. The victory of Sadiq Khan of the Labour Party is surprising because he faced an opponent who is not just an ordinary person. He is Zach Goldsmith, an environmental activist representing the Conservative Party, and is known as the son of a British financial tycoon, James Goldsmith. During the campaign, Goldsmith often attacked Khan with accusations of supporting extremist Islam and associating with hardliners Islamic scholars. Unfortunately, Zach's strategy is not fully supported by his own party. Khan received 53% of the vote and Goldsmith collected 47% of the vote. But who is Sadiq Khan? Sadiq Khan was born in London in 1970 of a family of recent immigrants from Pakistan as the fifth of eight children. He spent his teenage years in a busy neighborhood with multi-ethnic and multicultural residents in the southern part of the city of London. Khan studied law and graduated as a lawyer who did a lot of human rights defense. In 2008, Sadiq Khan entered the cabinet of Prime Minister Gordon Brown and was recorded as the first Muslim minister in the history of the British cabinet. Sadiq Khan's election as a mayor of London has changed the view of a US prospective presidential candidate, Donald Trump, known for his controversial remarks about Islam. If on some occasion Trump declared he would close the door for Muslim entering America. Since the victory of Khan, Trump gave an exception for the Muslim mayor. Khan himself does not want to go to the country just because he was given exception of getting into America if Trump is in the White House, simply because he is the mayor of London. In a statement, he said he would only visit the country later, just before the January's presidential inauguration. Khan's comment, coupled with the comments of British Prime Minister David Cameron, that criticized Trump's plans to restrict the entry of Muslim, angered Trump. The US presidential candidate is likely to limit relationship with the UK, which is a close US ally in Europe. Khan's victory sometimes after the occurrence of some terror in Europe gave the lesson that there is hope for the various races, ethnicities, and religions to unite. No need to spread fear against different groups, especially Islamic extremists. Khan became a sign of negotiation that in Europe Islamophobia has become acute and chronic. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History. We start from an event on May 18, 1978 that was firstly commemorated the International Museum Day. On May 18, 1978 was firstly commemorated as the International Museum Day. The determination of the day is the content of resolution issued by International Council of Museums in its 12th Assembly in Moscow on May 28, 1977. According to the resolution, the determination of the International Museum Day was aimed to invite more people's attention toward the museum activity as the change equipments and cultural enrichment as well as to build comprehension and peace among people in the world. On May 18, 1980, Mount St. Helens erupted. Mount St. Helens is located in Skamania County, Washington, the United States. The massive eruption of the mount occurred on May 18, 1980. The eruption caused the top of the mount decreased from 2,950 meters to become 2,550 meters and 57 people died in the tragedy. The eruption of Mount St. Helens was noted as the worst volcanic eruptions during the American history. The last event on today's edition of Today in History, on May 18, 1998, the university students occupied DPR MPR building in an under-control condition after gripping in a few days since the shooting of three Sakti students and riots in Indonesia. On Monday, May 18, 1998 afternoon, hundreds of students from Forum Kota along with the Student Community Forum from Jakarta, Bogor, Tangerang, Bekasi, managed to break into the DPR-MPR building. They demanded investigation of three Sakti shootings, rejection of the appointment of Suharto as the next president, the dissolution of the DPR-MPR 1998, the formation of a new government, and the acceleration of economic recovery. Dear listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome back to Void Green. Today we'll take you a topic about planting trees to reduce pollution and global warming. Planting trees awareness already growing everywhere throughout Indonesia. Many programs in various areas have always been associated with planting trees. In the Central Java province, for instance, precisely in the area of integrated market at Kuripan Yusorejo village, Pekalongan Selatan sub-district has been conducted mutual tree planting movement. On Friday, May 13th, about 400 trees are planted simultaneously in the market area. The activity is a cooperation between the government of Pekalongan with the Regional Military Command 0710 Pekalongan. Dozens of students also participated in the tree planting activities. Chief of Staff of the Regional Military Command 0710 Pekalongan, Major Infantry M. Maskur said, the tree planting is aimed to reduce global warming. Not just global warming, pollution also raises concerns about the declining quality of the environment. Large industries that are increasingly available in Pleland Village, Gringsing Sub-District, Semarang Regency, Central Java Province, led to an increase of pollution in the region. Batang student's family in Semarang recently tried to cope with it by planting 500 seedlings of mahogany and sengon distributed by Central Java Health Office. The trees are planted along the street and distributed to residents in 8 hamlets in Pleland in an effort to preserve the earth. Ngrau village head Jono said residents are assisted by the planting program because later it will reduce air pollution and reduce the air temperature. Tree planting movement was also done on campus. Environment and Forestry Minister Siti Nurbaya, Friday, May 13th, attended the program of One Student, Five Trees, initiated by 11 Maret University, Solo, Central Java. The program was applied by the university to the students of 11 Maret University of 2015 class. Each student is required to plant five trees. One student had to complete the plant five trees when they graduate. The students cannot follow graduation if they have not planted five trees. Minister Siti Nurbaya appreciates this program and plans to adapt it for other places in Indonesia. That was Voy Green. Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Culture and Education Minister Anies Baswedan has urged schools to set up a team to prevent violence against children. This is part of the effort to respond to the growing incidence of violence against children. The minister affirmed that sexual deviance must be quickly detected to address and prevent sexual abuse among children. Indonesian President Joko Widodo on Tuesday in Seoul, South Korea, gave keynote speech in the 7th Asian Leadership Conference. In his speech, President highlighted developments in information technology innovation achieved by the world today. China has offered 80 trillion rupiah worth of loans to finance the construction of Trans-Sulawesi and Trans-Sumatra railway projects, a Transportation Ministry official said. Director General of Railway at the Transportation Ministry, Prasetyo Budi Cahyono, informed on Tuesday that China has agreed to extend loans worth 40 trillion rupiah for Trans-Sumatra and Trans-Sulawesi railway projects each. Vice President Yusuf Kala officially opened the 41st annual meeting of the Board of Governors of the Islamic Development Bank on Tuesday. The meeting, in fact, had begun on Sunday and was to be officially opened by the Vice President only on Monday, though it was later postponed to Tuesday. Among those seen attending the opening ceremony were Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro, Bank Indonesia Governor Agus Martowardoyo, former President B.J. Habibie, and Economic and Finance Ministers of the 57 member countries of the IDB. Indonesia has become one of the leading sukuk issuers in the world, with sukuk issuance totaling 503 trillion rupiah or $38 billion since its debut in 2008, according to Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro. Two gunmen killed in recent shootout with Operation Tinombala security forces in the Uwemaya Mountains of Central Sulawesi's Poso Regency were members of the terrorist group East Indonesia Mujahideen, according to police. In conjunction with the International Yoga Day, the Indian Embassy in Indonesia will hold mass yoga event in four cities in Indonesia, namely Jakarta, Bali, Medan, and Surabaya. Yoga Day celebration in Indonesia is part of global celebration organized by the Indian Embassy all over the world. Listener, that was News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
You're still tuned to the frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz or through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to Central Java Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, visiting Borobudur, the biggest Buddha temple in the world, can become amazing and unforgettable experience. Being beautiful, magic and secrets are not enough words to describe the uniqueness of a holy place which was built in the 9th century. After satisfying to explore and to observe reliefs which are displayed on the whole temple. In fact, there is another way to enjoy the beauty of Borobudur in Magelang, Central Java Province, witnessing Borobudur when sunrise from Puntuk Sitembu Hill will make your visiting in Indonesia more impressive and memorable. Listeners, Puntuk Sitembu is a hill with high approximately 400 meters above sea level in the cluster Menoreh Mountains. In the past, this location was filled. Peak of Puntuk Sitembu Hill is courtyard, which is surrounded with fences. This place becomes favorite spot of photographers to take Borobudur picture when sunrise. Today's Puntuk Sitembu Hill is more popular because it becomes shooting of a movie. Getting tired to go to the hill will be paid when witnessing Borobudur in fog blanket and sun as background which appears behind the mountain. Listeners, you can get a tent on the peak of Puntuk Sitembu Hill. Puntuk Sitembu Hill is as wide as basketball square. On the hill, there are gazebo, few posts, and bands to take a race. Please do not forget to take picture, which is very unforgettable. You will be amazed to witness Borobudur from the peak of Puntuk Sitembu Hill. Listeners, if you want to see the beauty of Borobudur from the peak of Puntuk Sitembu Hill, we suggest you to come at 500 local time because it is the best time to witness it. Puntuk Sitembu Hill is located not far from Borobudur, precisely at Kerahan Hamlet, Karangrejo Village, Borobudur, Magelang. From the hill, you have to climb around 15 minutes to get the peak of the hill. The best time to climb the hill is around June until August. In this month, sun can be witnessed clearly, so you can get beautiful moment. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today, we feature a topic entitled Murid Baru, which in English means new student. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly, and you can repeat after me. Murid baru. Murid baru in English, new student. Harap tenang. Harap tenang in English, silent please. Kelas. Kelas in English, classroom. Pagi. Pagi in English, morning. Teman-teman. Teman-teman in English, friends. Bercerita. Bercerita in English, to tell the story. Tentang. Tentang in English, about. Keluarga. Keluarga in English, family. Ayah. Ayah in English, father. Pengacara. Pengacara in English, lawyer. Ibu. Ibu in English, mother. Bekerja. Bekerja in English, to work. Rumah sakit. Rumah sakit in English, hospital. Saudara laki-laki. Saudara laki-laki in English, brother. Saudara perempuan. Saudara perempuan in English, sister. Tidak punya. Tidak punya in English, do not have. Anak tunggal. Anak tunggal in English, the only child. Now, listener, we give you an example of conversation entitled Murid Baru, or in English means new student. The conversation is between A, teacher, and B, Amir. You can repeat after me. A, teacher. Selamat pagi anak-anak. Selamat pagi anak-anak. In English, good morning students. Harap tenang. Harap tenang in English, silent please. Ada murid baru di kelas kita. Ada murid baru di kelas kita. In English, we have a new student in our class. B, Amir. Selamat pagi teman-teman.
Selamat pagi teman-teman. In English, good morning friends. Saya Amir. Saya Amir. In English, I'm Amir, a teacher. Baiklah. Baiklah. In English, all right. Dapatkah kamu ceritakan tentang keluargamu? Dapatkah kamu ceritakan tentang keluargamu? In English, can you tell us about your family, B. Amir? Ayah saya seorang pengacara. Ayah saya seorang pengacara. In English, my father is a lawyer. Dan ibu saya bekerja di sebuah rumah sakit. Dan ibu saya bekerja di sebuah rumah sakit. In English, and my mother works at the hospital. A. Teacher. Bagaimana tentang saudara laki-lakimu atau perempuan? Bagaimana tentang saudara laki-lakimu atau saudara perempuanmu? In English, how about your brother and sister? B. Amir, saya tidak punya saudara laki-laki atau perempuan. Saya tidak punya saudara laki-laki atau perempuan. In English, I have no brother or sister. Saya anak tunggal. Saya anak tunggal. In English, I'm the only child. That was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Listener, hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. Today's edition of Music Corner, we will present you to a band group in Indonesia, namely Leto. Leto band comes from Yogyakarta. Well, listener, to initiate the segment of Music Corner, let's listen to the first song by Leto entitled Bunga di Malam Itu. Enjoy the song.
Ketika aku bertemu denganmu, dalam hatiku terseduh, tanganku tergenggam menahan haru, mataku tak lepas darimu, walaupun ku sendiri. Bye.
Listener, Leto Band is quite familiar among the music lovers in Indonesia, and the band has achieved its greatest work in the Indonesian music industry with a number of hit singles that automatically increasing their popularity. The presence of Leto Band certainly provided a huge influence to the music in Indonesia. The color of pop music genre of Leto Band can invite their fans, and the band still become one of popular bands in the country with its best songs. Leto Band is consistently exist to present their music works. Well, listener, before we continue to inform you about Leto Band, now let's enjoy the coming song entitled Cinta Bersabarlah. Happy listening. Leto Band, which was established in 2004, has successfully released 4 studio albums that consisted of their best songs. They also able to compose the songs which then become the hit songs that survive in some radio charts in the country. Currently, the Leto Band consisted of 4 personnel who have a good talent to play music instruments. With tightly competition, it certainly gave influence to the existence of letter band in the Indonesian music industry. Prior to 2014, letter band released its newest album entitled Best of the Best, which consisted of 16 songs. It is a compilation album of letter's best songs from the previous albums, which are combined in an excellent album. With a new album, at least it can answer the longing of the fans. Well, listener, to conclude today's music corner, let's enjoy the last two songs by Leto Band entitled Dalam Duka and Hantui Aku. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Dalam suka, ku percaya, kau kan bisa menemani dengan cinta. Dalam duka ku bertanya, bagaimana dalam hatimu bicara. Cerita yang kita punya percaya. Di saat hampa harimu dan saat hampa hatimu, ku kan ada, ku di sana menemanimu selalu. Di saat hilang jalanmu dan saat hilang nafasmu, ku kan ada, ku di sana menemanimu selalu. Dalam cinta ku bertanya, sampai mana rasa ini kan dicoba. Cerita yang kita punya kata percaya. Di saat hampa harimu dan saat hampa hatimu, ku kan ada, ku di sana menemanimu selalu. Di saat hilang jalanmu dan saat hilang nafasmu, ku kan ada, ku di sana menemanimu selalu.
Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Matahari pagi dan embunnya Begitu hampa semuanya sinar tanpa cinta. rasane koyo teko iki lho.
Dong opo ya raine koyo kopet.
Ati ngene iki lho ceritane. Jane mesake aku ndelok rupamu aning piye gandeng kanca kenthel to. Aku tetep kudu ngomong karo kowe.
Ngomong opo?
Wedokan kae sing tok aku pacarmu. Sing semle diot kae. Sing ana fotone. Aku mau ngapus-apus. Awang-awang mutok kuwi. Raining.
Juk sok tak pikir ki aku gendeng kuwi. Mau pikir aku toyeng duwe bojo semledot.
Kandhani yo. Ya mesti iya, wong aku ki ngetutke kowe, Je.
Bebek banget ya cah iki. Mau pikir aku ono iki. Lho, cah iki ono cah iki mau wujud to iki. Geling-eling aku ora.
Cari bukanlah itu yang aku nanti, tetapi ketulusan hati yang abadi. Ku tahu mawar tak seindah dirimu, awan tak seteduh tatapanmu.
Kira-kira nggo dengkul wae pisan-pisan nggo ati eling.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
Jangan kau tutup pintu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.